The reaction to Thursday night's debate continues. The discussion continues throughout the Sunday shows. The New York Times came out with the headline, "To serve his country, President Biden should leave the race." Meanwhile, the Biden campaign said dropping out would, quote, lead to weeks of chaos and leave the eventual replacement weakened ahead of a November face-off. Let's ask Debbie Dingell, the U.S. Congresswoman from Ann Arbor, her thoughts, because she knows the Bidens and President Biden personally. Good morning, Debbie.
Good morning, Jamie. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. It can't be easy to be a friend of President Biden and hear these things and see these headlines because you know him. What does he think? What does the family think?
Well, quite frankly, I haven't talked to the family, and I think most of the people that you were seeing, the talking heads who have opinions every place, everywhere, haven't talked to the family. Look, he had a bad night on Thursday night. There is no question. And he's got a very tough road ahead in that he's got to prove to the American people that it was a bad night and that he's up to the job. And he can't make any more mistakes. He's got to be on point. He's got to be energetic. He's got to show people he's capable of doing the job. And I think, you know, you saw a lot of leadership on television yesterday. Hakeem saying it wasn't a good, but it's the opportunity to show people you can be a success. We're just going to have to see what happens these next few days. But I will say, Jamie, I've gotten nothing but calls from everybody in Washington. Everybody is having a lot of very, you know, people are, you cannot say that there aren't some very intense, passionate discussions going on all sides. But as I've been home, I will say people are not as obsessed with the subject. I've had some very difficult discussions, you know, that's sort of like with somebody who's like my brother, who's a total Trump supporter. I've just been ready to want to scream, and maybe even did scream at him. But I had some interesting conversations. I mean, it's been a bad weekend, but there's, you know, a young African-American who has for months told me he didn't know why he should vote for Biden, who after watching Trump now knows why he should be leaning towards Biden. And I went to some real life things that were pretty horrific this weekend. The viewing of a young 15-year-old from downriver who died in his sleep. His family's devastated. And you realize there are real things going on in the world. In which way are we going to go?
Debbie, do you see that this thing with Biden, him having a bad night, really overshadowed the other side and Donald Trump and people saying that he, you know, told all of these lies and how people are going to take black jobs, which I'm still trying to figure out what those jobs are?
Glenn Moore did a great post on that. I want you to look at it. Absolutely. And that was the point. One of the things I'm going to say to all of you, don't book you, which I didn't, but don't book way too early the morning after a debate so that when you go to bed at 2 a.m. and have to be up at 5 and have no guidance from anybody. You know, I was very honest Friday morning and said, I mean, I don't lie. And my being real, you guys know I'll always tell you the truth. And he didn't have a good debate. I wasn't going to sugarcoat it. But Donald Trump did not have a good night either. He doubled down on a lot of things that people are worried about. I mean, he himself talks about, I mean, he doubled down on Roe versus Wade. That women want the right to make their own personal health care decisions. They believe that that should be between them, their doctor, their faith, and whoever else they want to include. And he just doubled down on that again. He called overturning Roe a great thing. I got to tell you, I am very worried about what happens in November, and that debate's made me even more worried. He will not answer the question about, Donald Trump won't, about whether he'd respect the results of the election three times. He continues to say and double down that he's going to pardon people that have been convicted of January 6th. He thinks that what happened is okay. The people attacked policemen. The people wanted to hang his own vice president. That gives me a lot of pause.
Yes, Debbie, and forgive me, but Biden was not capable of confronting his lies
that.
On any score in that debate. Why should we assume that he will do any better in the coming weeks and months? And in fact, that kind of whataboutism the Atlanta Journal-Constitution said is insulting to voters. And if you look at the CBS News poll, only 27% of registered voters believe that he has the cognitive health to serve as president. So whatever Trump may have done doesn't make Biden look any better. It just makes Trump look worse, doesn't it?
This is what I'm going to say to you guys. He's gotten down and gotten back up. I don't know where we're going to go the next few days. And I've been very clear. He's got to go out and address what he did on Thursday night and show the American people he is competent to do this job.
So how should they do that, Debbie? Should they be scheduling one-on-ones with him? Should they put him out there with free?
Well, they need to put him out there. They cannot hide him.
They need freestyle news conferences like the old days.
They cannot hide him. And I've been very clear with that. He's got to go out and he's got to prove it. I can't do it. Other people can't do it. He's got to do it. I think I've been very clear that his staff did a terrible job. One, they should have told people the day before when they tested him for COVID that he had a cold, and they were testing him for COVID. So people would have been prepared for the raspy voice. People do have bad debate nights. I do want to say that to you guys. That is the truth.
He did seem cured on Friday afternoon in North Carolina, though.
But I don't know. But I do. I haven't seen him. I haven't talked to him. I'm having the 1,000 calls that you all are having.
Yeah.
But I know what the choice is. I know what could happen in November. And I fear, I just, there are a lot of things I care about. I care about veterans. You know that. Mm-hmm. That's who I spend every week. One of the groups I spend every weekend with. He has called veterans suckers. Joe Biden passed the PACT Act. He's not making seniors feel like he's going to protect their Social Security. I care about our seniors. They've worked hard. We got to make sure it's solvent. They're just things that, look, this isn't easy. I know. I hear you guys. You guys are my friends. But we got a choice here and what direction it's going to go. But Joe Biden's got to go out and show people he is capable of the job. And the people around him need to do it. I sent a message on Wolf Blitzer Friday night when they said the campaign says they're going to not change the strategy. Do you agree with that? One, I think that's a stupid question when they said that, because anybody who's doing, like running a strategy, is you pay attention every day. You change your strategy based on what you're seeing and what people think. Mm-hmm. But they need to listen to us on the ground. We know how to win the state of Michigan. They don't, and they haven't been listening. So, look, I haven't had a great few days. I went viral on Friday when I got swarmed by the media and saying, I'm going home. I've done my time. It's good to be home. I did. I went viral. I've had more. But I want to be home. I want to talk to people. I want to listen to people. I am the one that told all of you Donald Trump was going to win in 2015, 2016, and you all thought I was crazy. I want to be home. I want to be with people I know and I love. I'm going to be in union halls and farmers markets and with veterans and stakeouts and walking in parades. And I want to see what Joe Biden's going to do. And I want to be with people that I represent and I love and see what they're saying to me.
Well, a lot of discussions are going to be had in the next couple of days. The New York Times again said the best chance to protect the soul of the nation, the cause that drew Mr. Biden to the presidency, would be for him to step down. And those are the decisions a lot of people are going to have to make. Debbie Dingell, U.S. Congresswoman from Ann Arbor, thank you for your honest thoughts this morning, because we don't know what the future holds.
Thank you. And it's always good to be with you. You know me, I don't run away.
Have a wonderful
You don't mind
forest,
going
Debbie.
Viral.
Yeah. I wasn't quite planning on going viral.
Right.
I just didn't
want
to answer the swarm of questions.
And, yeah. And don't throw rib bones at your brother. It's not nice. At the family barbecue.
Right. It was sad last night.
Be good.
All right. Happy 4th of July.
Time now for Ion Engineering, brought to you by Tajan Automotive Technologies, the formula for better mobility.
Cities across the country have had to wrestle with a problem presented by the growth of shared mobility.
the traffic dangers presented by what are called vulnerable road users, or the riders of e-scooters and e-bicycles. Now, researchers at Toyota and Purdue University have collected 31 terabytes of data on the personal mobility vehicle's behavior in traffic with LiDAR and high-speed, high-definition cameras. Yao-Bin Chin, a professor of electrical engineering at Purdue, said the data can be used to test possible automotive safety systems that could protect the vulnerable users. The Consumer Product Safety Commission reported in 2023 that nearly half of all e-scooter injuries from 2017 to 2022 occurred in 2022, and the worst of those accidents involved motor vehicles. The Toyota research has the goal of being able to predict the trajectory of the vulnerable road users in time for a safety system to avert an accident. For SAE International, I'm Chris Klontz, and that's an Eye on Engineering.